Grace and peace to you all from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We welcome you to Cook's Church, and we're delighted that you're here to worship with us in spirit and in truth. We're going to have the scouts progress in before we do our announcements, so we're just making sure they're set up. Are y'all ready? All right.
Flag patrol attention, audience attention, please arise. Flag patrol advance. Flag patrol halt. Flag patrol post colors. Salute or hand over heart. I pledge of allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, liberty and justice for us and for all. Flag patrol return to rank. Flag patrol at ease. Audience at ease. You may be seated.
Well, grace and peace to you all from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Rejoicing on a Scout Sunday as we prepare for worship. Unfortunately, with my illness at having COVID last week, our congregation missed an important congregational meeting. We have to have one once a year. And so we're going to have that meeting up front right now in the service. And I apologize to our guests. This is really the result of me being ill last week. We would have done this last week normally. At that point, I'd like to have a motion to start our congregational meeting. Do we have a second? Mr. Moderator, do we have a quorum?
We have a quorum.
Okay. We've got a very limited agenda. The first is to elect as elder to this church Nan McClure. There is always an opportunity for a nomination to come from the floor, but that nominee has to have been spoken to ahead of time and agreed to do it. Do we have at this point any nominees from the floor? Hearing none, let's vote the measure. All those in favor of electing Nan McClure to elder of Cook's Church indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Okay. Second item for business is my terms of call for this year. My terms of call reduced as a result of change to the pension structure of the church. Thus, I represent less of a line item to the church this year than last. With that as an understanding, we'd like to vote the measure. Any discussion on the matter? Would there be any discussion if I were to leave? No, I'm being serious. We got to do this fast. There would be discussion if I left. Oh, okay. No. I mean, would there need to be discussion on those terms of call if I were to leave the room? Sorry. Right. Okay. All right. We're going to vote this measure, but I extended, like, we could talk about this if you want to, but for the sake of our guests, I want to get us through. All right. All those in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed. Okay. Motion carries. The other two items for awareness are available in the back of the church. It's the posted budget of this church for the year. Take a copy, analyze, come and talk to me or one of the elders if you have any questions, as well as the statistical report. These are required by the PCUSA, and we have done them now. That closes the business of our meeting. Can I have a motion to close the meeting? Do we have a second? All those in favor indicate by saying aye. Okay, thank you. Oh, I'm sorry. Gosh, I just want to get things through so fast. All right. We've got in front of us, a nominating committee slate for this year. It's posted in the bulletin. You have it in the pews. Any discussion we need to have on this? Hearing none, let's vote the measure. All those in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Motion carries. Now can we have a motion to adjourn? Second. All those in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Motion, that's the end of it. Close with prayer. Almighty God, thank you for this congregational meeting. Thank you for Cook's Church, and thank you for these members. In Christ's name, amen. All right, thank you to our guests. Thank you to the congregation. Now we move forward. Just a couple of announcements to make is before we go forward. We're thrilled that the troop is here with us today. We have fellowship on the lawn after service, but we're not going outside. So if you want a time of refreshment and enjoyment, follow me this way to our Ed building, and that's where we'll be set up, and we look forward to greeting everyone there. The community meal is this Thursday from 5 to 6:30 at Hillcrest Baptist Church until our fellowship hall is restored. Our Christian sympathy is obviously extended to the family of the Pace family at the passing of Lyle. We were all shocked and heartbroken by this. Lyle's service will be Saturday next at 2 o'clock. More information will be coming. Keep that family in your prayer. It was, as we all know, a real shock. We also pray for the church and for all the people having birthdays this month. Any other announcements that need to be brought before the congregation at this time?
Jason, I have one.
Okay.
The laundry ministry handled the ministry this week, and we spent $80 at the laundromat helping people.
Okay. Now, that being the case, let us open our hearts to the worship of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Please join me in the call to worship. Praise the Lord, all you nations. Extol him, all you peoples.
For great is his steadfast love toward us, and the faithfulness of the Lord endures forever.
Come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation.
Let us come before him with thanksgiving and extol him with music and song.
The Lord is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, the flock under his care.
Today, if we hear his voice, let us not harden our hearts, but worship him in spirit and in truth.
Amen.
Sovereign and eternal God, architect of the cosmos and the earth, we assemble in your splendid presence, overwhelmed by your limitless kindness and perpetual compassion. Your splendor, O Lord, outshines the brightest star and extends across the boundless reaches of creation. Through your profound love, you bestow redemption that transcends all barriers, a manifestation of your endless benevolence. As we stand in your sight, awestruck and thankful, we aspire to mirror your mercifulness in our own lives. Guide us, O divine shepherd, to pardon as unreservedly as you have pardoned us, to show mercy as unceasingly as you have shown us. Let our worship today be an homage to your magnificence and exaltation of the life-altering power of your love and mercy. In your sacred and powerful name we pray. Amen.
We continue now as we prepare for the singing of our first hymn. I invite you to rise and join me, those who you who are able, to sing number 363 in the Brown Hymn. It's on the screen.
It's on the screen.
Yeah.
Yes.
Thank you.
Jesus Christ, after he came to the disciples and showed them the penetrations on his hands and his side, he said to them, "Peace be with you." Soon thereafter, he said to them, "Just as the Father sent me, so I send you." And so part of what we do as Christians is we share that message of peace. And so we pass that peace now and prepare ourselves to share it with the world. So let us pass the peace of Jesus Christ. The Bible reminds us in certain ways that allow us to know that we need to pay attention. And one of the areas it says, if you say that you have no sin, right, you deceive yourself and the truth is not in you, which I think we recognize is truth. But it goes on to tell us that if we confess our sins, that God, who is himself faithful and just, God is going to forgive us our sins and all of the uncleanliness that we bring. And so we confess corporately and individually in this time in our worship to prepare ourselves not for condemnation, but for the reception and the receiving of God's amazing grace. So join me as we offer these words of contrition, printed as a prayer of confession found in your bulletin this morning. Join me as we pray together. Gracious and loving God, we come before you in a spirit of humility and reflection, acknowledging our human frailty and our frequent shortcomings. Despite your perfect example of forgiveness through Jesus Christ, we often find ourselves unable to extend the same grace to others. Our hearts, weighed down by pride and hurt, resist the compassionate release of forgiveness that you so freely offer. We seek your guidance and strength to overcome these barriers within us. Let us to let go of our grievances, replace our bitterness with love, and to embrace the peace that comes from true forgiveness. May we learn to forgive as fully and freely as you have forgiven us, reflecting the love of Jesus in our actions and in our attitudes. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen. Friends, I declare to you this wonderful truth, that in the fullness of time, Jesus Christ appeared and he took upon himself the weight of all of our debt and sin. And he suffered and died for us on our salvation. And in the end, he rose again, declaring the goodness and forgiveness and mercy of God, not only to us, but to all individuals who find salvation in the Lord's embrace. Friends, believe the good news of the gospel. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Amen. We now take the time to affirm what we believe as Christians. Today we use the words of the Apostles' Creed. Join me in affirming our Christian faith together. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated, and at this point we'd like to invite the kids to come forward and enjoy this space over here for a time with Eric. Mr. Eric, just for them. Are you just going to... Are you going to come over there? All right.
Down on my knee. I'll try to get back up. All right. So a lot of you scouts have probably have heard this one. Excuse me. So a good positive attitude can truly change the way you approach life and your future. I always say with a positive attitude, the worst camping trip will make for a good story. A few years ago, there was a wildlife organization out west that offered a bounty of $5,000 for captured wolves. Two friends, Sam and Jed, they decided that this is how they'd make their fortune. Day and night, they scoured the mountains and the forests looking for their valuable prey. Exhausted one night, after searching for many days with no luck, they fell asleep, dreaming of their potential fortune. Suddenly, Sam woke up, a bit startled, and saw they were surrounded by a huge pack of nearly 70 wolves with searing black eyes and barred teeth, low growls rumbling from their throats. Sam slowly reached over and nudged his friend and said, "Jed, wake up. I think we're rich." So Sam had a positive attitude, and I hope you do too. So join me with prayer. I'll ask that you repeat the sentence as I say them. Dear God, thank you for our time together.
Dear God, thank you for our time together.
Please keep us safe and kind.
Please keep us safe and kind.
Help us to love and learn from you.
Help us to love and learn from you.
Bless our families and friends.
Bless our families and friends.
And make us lights in the world.
Make us lights in the world.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you all very much.
Thank you.
This month we're going to be doing, starting a lot of gospel favorites that maybe you haven't heard in a while, but we sang them a lot in both barbershop group and especially my bluegrass band, so we're going to be singing that. So again, if you know the song, please join in. This is called Just Over in the Glory Land. I behold, prepared where the saints abide, just over in the glory land. And I long to be by my Savior's side, just over in the glory land. Just over in the glory land. I'll join, yes, join the happy angel band, just over in the glory land. Just
Come, Holy Spirit, giver of life, breathe into us that we may hear a word of truth this day. Draw us into communion, enable us to love, conspire to make us one with you for the world you so deeply love. Amen.
When Joseph's brothers saw that their father was dead, they said, "It may be that Joseph will hate us and pay us back for all the evil that we did to him." So they sent a message to Joseph, saying, "Your father gave this command before he died. Say to Joseph, 'Please forgive the transgression of your brothers and their sin, because they did evil to you. And now, please forgive the transgression of the servants of the God of your father.'" Joseph wept when they spoke to him. His brothers also came and fell down before him and said, "Behold, we are your servants." But Joseph said to them, "Do not fear, for am I in the place of God? As for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, to bring it about many people should be kept alive as they are today. So do not fear, I will provide for you and your little ones." Thus he comforted them and spoke kindly to them.
Page 974, P Bible. If your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he listens to you, have you gained your brother? You have gained your brother. But if he does not listen to you, take one or two others along with you, that every charge may be established by the evidence of two or three witnesses. If he refuses to listen to them, tell it to a church. And if he refuses to listen even to the church, let him be to you as a gentle as and a tax collector. Truly I say to you, whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Again I say to you, if two of you agree on earth about anything they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. Where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I among them. Then Peter came up and said to him, "Lord, how often will my brother sin against me and I forgive him? As many as seven times?" Jesus said to him, "I do not say to you seven times, but 77 times."
Well, thank you very much to the boys and the troop. For those of us that are in the pews, right, like if you can take your mind back and think, what was it like being an 8 or 9 or 10-year-old kid, and, right, having to come up and speak to a group of people and then get this, you don't know most of them, right? Like your hands would sweat, your heart would beat, right? But it was preparing you for something, right? This day was going to come that you'd have to get up in a boardroom and say, this is what the company believes, right? You need to do that. Well, the training starts here, and we're grateful for the boys that come and for the men and the women that volunteer their time, because we recognize that what starts here in this kind of reading in front of everybody is a developmental path that is good for everyone. So we celebrate our scouts, the ones that are participating today, as well as the leaders and the mothers. We're turning our attention now to a sermon series I began couple weeks ago. It's called Necessary Traumas, and the setup is real easy, so I'll explain that very briefly. The idea is that as we grow up, life forces us into these traumas where we have to kind of grow up, right? We talked about me and the Underoos, you remember that, right? Yeah, that's funny. Then we talked about me and Miss Barksdale and how she sent me back to first grade because of my handwriting, and that was, you know. So we get a little trauma that life forces us in, but beyond that, the Christian walk forces us into these awarenesses and these little traumas that we have to get through and grow from. You know, the first one basically linked to the fact of if you don't understand that you're part of the problem, you're part of the problem, right? And that's a hard pill to swallow, right at the outset. But that's kind of the entry point for Christianity, is that you recognize that coming to the end of yourself and it didn't work, you need something else. And that's really where Christianity begins. The second lesson we taught was about how unless you're staying active in your relationship with Jesus Christ, guess what? You're going to still divert off the wrong way, right? And so life is going to put you in these traumas. You need to learn and grow up. Today's trauma is a little later in life, and I'm going to save it for later in the sermon. I'm going to start, admittedly, in a very odd place, but I think the congregation here knows that I want to do that, so it's not going to throw them, but maybe for you if you're visiting, hang with me just for a second, because I'm going to start with cream cheese, right? What does that have to do with Christianity? Let me work through that. Well, I used to be a chef, and I like to bake still, and I like to bake cheesecakes because they're really caloric and fat, and they're good, right? But I've recognized over time you have to get good cream cheese. Well, used to be, that you could buy the generic, right? The generic was probably just Philadelphia coming off the same line, right? And it made great cheesecakes. But over time, the skimpflation hit there first, so they started using xanthan gum and fillers and all that nasty stuff that you don't want to see. So it ultimately yielded a less enjoyable cheesecake. So I sucked it up, and when I make cheesecakes, which is not terribly often, I would spend the extra dollar or whatever I was going to spend to get the Philadelphia brand, right? Best cheesecake. Aha! But then a new product arrived on the shelves, and I was wont to try it, because sitting in between that value cream cheese and the premium cream cheese sat a new product. And my cost and value conscious self said, let me try this. It's got to be the best. Why? It sat in the middle. It wasn't the most expensive product on the market. It wasn't the cheapest product on the market. So my wise mind says best product for the value. I buy it. Get it home. Whip up my first cheesecake. What do you think I find? It makes a worse cheesecake than the bargain one. Why? Money moves faster than you do, right? Than I do. And see, what money figured out is if you price something in the middle, your value-conscious buyers will flock to it because they formed a heuristic that says that's where the best product is. So you buy it without question. And you get burned, right? Because cream cheese is cream cheese, right? It's got ingredients like milk, not like xanthan gum and carbosodium bicarbonate or whatever, you know, the preservatives and the junk and the stuff that gets mixed in. You see, what was standing there in front of me in that aisle, poised, waiting for me seductively, right where it knew I was going to buy, is the worst product available. Highest margins, lowest goods, right? It's cream cheese in name only, right? It's a category I think we need to hold on to. Because I think I hear it bandied about a bit in political spheres mainly. People, oh, that guy's a rhino or that guy's a dino or whatever. And they're coming at you and they're saying, well, he's Republican or Democrat in name only, right? Because we all recognize that you can say that you're something. They can say that that's cream cheese and not have it be real cream cheese. Believe it or not, Christianity can work like that, right? See where I'm going? So you can say you're a Christian and not operate in a real Christian manner. You're a Christian in name only, right? It's not to call anybody out. I've been one. Chances are you have. I might be one today. Who knows? It can happen to us. We're sinners, right? That's why we need the word, but that's another story altogether. The fact of the matter is that we are flawed, and we're going to go off the mark a little bit. But when you realize that it's the actions that make the real deal, like what the ingredients and the stuff that are going in the cream cheese make the cream cheese good. When you realize that Christianity is a matter of taking in good stuff, you want to take in more and get rid of more of that filler, stuff that doesn't really get you to where you want to be. What doesn't get you to where you want to be? I'm assuming that everybody in here wants to be as content as humanly possible, that they want to have a fair amount of whatever is available, but not too much more. And they want to have a fair and equal percentage of all the blessings. I mean, I think that's pretty much standard operating decent behavior. And if you come at it from that point of view and you start thinking about this cream cheese and how it might not add up, what you can end up with is the awareness is that unless I am acting like a Christian, I might not be one. And then you think, okay, well, what does Jesus say? Jesus says, warning his disciples, he says, if they come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves, by their fruit you will recognize them. Jesus is sending us a coded message here. Not coded, he's really right out in the open. You know Christians when they forgive, right? That's what this passage of the particular book of the Gospel of Matthew is talking about. It builds on this premise and this thesis over and over and over again. Forgiveness. Then we come back and we think about Jesus. And last words are important. We talked about this in the children's sermon a couple of weeks ago. People, as they die, right, are only going to say the things that really matter, right? They don't have time. There's no energy. If you've been at a bedside as somebody dies, those words are sacred. because they're the last things they're going to utter. What were Jesus? Luke 23 gets us there. As they're dividing his clothes, the people that killed him, right? As they're dividing his clothes, he says, Father, what does he say? Oh, yeah, that's it. Forgive them, for they know not what they do. So in his dying act, Jesus Christ forgave. Then I've been leading the Christian confirmands of this church, and one of the things we're working with them is we say, like, people are going to say a lot of crazy things about Christianity, but Christianity is ultimately people following a way established by Jesus Christ. Go read what he said. And the neat thing is they used to make Bibles that had red letter. Do you remember that? The way you could cut through all the other things. This is what Jesus says. What do you think Jesus says consistently and in an ongoing basis? Forgive other people. Forgive, forgive. So now we can say maybe one of the ingredients in the real cream cheese to be a real Christian is you need to see forgiveness. You see, sometimes we think it's about these actions that we can do to get us at the real heart of the Christian experience, right? And we can come to church and we can worship, we can pray. Those are all wonderful practices and we need to do them all, every one of us. But they're low cost, right? And spend 5 minutes a day and do all of that. What takes cost? What buy-in? Forgiveness, right? Because if you forgive somebody, you got to let go of a couple of things. First of all, you got to let go of what you think is best. You got to let go of an injury that you might have sustained and probably did, and you got to say, it's all good. That's hard. And in order to do that, you're going to need a lot of help. The Bible knows this. And so what does the Bible say? Well, the Bible says, surround yourself with people who think like you do, right? Be a church. Act like a church, which is a way of coded of saying, forgive and love everybody in your midst, right? That's where we're going. And that forgiveness will have profound effect on the community that you're in. What we got to remember, y'all, is that Christianity came at us in a point in time and in a particular place. And until we see and understand what led the earliest believers to adopt Christianity, we will ultimately be flying blind. So let me set this up for you. To become a Christian originally, you would have had to have been within a subset of a society. You would have been an ethnic Jew living in Jerusalem. You might think that's great. Except they themselves were an oppressed people. They were had their thumb, the thumb of the Romans on them. They had sacked the temple. They were starving. They were poor. They were oppressed. And yet somehow in the midst of this oppression, oppressed group themselves began to grow. It was Christians. And why were the Christians growing? Because they adopted an ethic that stood at the center of it, this forgiveness. See, a society, a community, needs forgiveness to be operative for it to be healthy. Why? We're human beings and we mess up. All of us. Every one of us. So for a church, for a community to work, in the heart of it, you have to have the love that leads to forgiveness, right? Because otherwise it doesn't work. That's a problem if we're a Christian in name only, because forgiveness, this thing that actually costs us, is the hardest thing to do, and we're going to need help. We're going to need friends and others that guide us and point us in the right direction. We're going to need a sacred word that's going to always direct us to the right. And then at the middle of that, we need exactly what Jesus Christ came to do us, which is to have a tenderness of heart, a self-awareness that you yourself, me, myself, and I are not perfect. And then we need to take a very dangerous and daring step, which is not to hate, which is not to deny, but is to forgive, right? And that's hard. The early church recognized that was hard. And because they were this marginalized community and they were thriving, people wanted to join. Why? Because if you joined the Christians, you knew that your mother, who maybe you couldn't provide for, she was going to get fed. Right? You were working at maximum capacity. You only had enough to feed your family. I mean, these are real starvation times. But your mom wasn't getting fed. You join the Christians, mom gets fed. We know this because they even had arguments about it. Right? These were people just like us. And in Acts, we know that they started arguing. And that's why the church set up deacons. Deacons were designed to keep things equitable. Right? Feeding. That church grew and did amazing things. They healed. They changed the world, right? But how did they do membership? Come back to that. What they needed was somebody that could, at a difficult stage in life, forgive. That's what they needed. So what did they do? They traveled with you for 2 years. 2 years. You watching them, they watching you, not in a conspiratorial proving contest, but really to determine compatibility. Does this society work for you? Do you work for it? Right? 2 years, you're going to figure that out. In 2 years, somebody's going to rub you the wrong way. I guarantee it. Look in your life. Think 2 years, has anybody in that two-year period not bothered me? Well, you're not going to find it, right? It just doesn't happen. What the Christian community did was they realized that forgiveness had to be a practice, and so they taught it. And when they let you in, you were steeped in it. You knew how to let go. You knew how to forgive. Why? Because you were with people that were doing the deal. They were providing for their families and for other people's families as well. And you thought, this is a good deal. I'm going to get in on this. And then you figured out what it took to be a Christian. And then only the people that really wanted to be a Christian stayed, right? Because if you get into that system and you think, hey, this isn't working for me, I'm out. Fine. Good. Didn't work for you. Probably isn't working for us. But at the center of that is forgiveness. And it changes and affects the community. And if we don't get it right, then we get gone. What do I mean by that? Well, I've made some boneheaded decisions in my life, right? I've shared those with you. Not all of them, but believe me, you don't have that much time, right? But as circumstances would have it, and I often don't talk about these, I made some good ones at the time. So I'm going to point out three really good decisions that I made. We're going to start with that, and we're going to scale it back and see what happens. So the first one, obviously anybody that knows me, Natalie, right? I am unorganized, and I'm a mess that I can get up and out of bed and get dressed. It's a tribute to my wife, right? The people that know me know this is true, right? I'm lying. Second one was coming to Cook's. I love it here, right? Good decision. The third one is a little tougher to get at because it takes me back to when I'm in my 20s and traveling in a circle of friends. You know what that's like. You remember it from when you were 20. And in that circle of friends, something happened, and I was involved in it. See, I liked a particular woman in this group who liked another person, not me. Yeah, it happens. Stunk, right? It's heartbroken, right? It's offended, hurt, all of that. That person, when the thing sorted out, came to me and said, I'm really sorry, I did something here I shouldn't have done. And every part of me wanted to say, to heck with you, right? You've done me wrong. And he had. That's why he was coming forward and apologizing, right? But I was starting my walk as a Christian. There's no kidding, this happened. I was starting my walk as a Christian, and I thought, okay, what am I going to do? Well, you people had told me I should look in the Bible, so I did, right? And I promise you, if you do the same thing today, you'll get the same answers that I got. Google, what does Jesus say about forgiveness? And then get ready, right? Because you're going to be reading for a while. At the end of that, I said, I don't quite understand this thing, Christianity. I don't. I didn't. Didn't know the Trinity. Didn't know the, you know, Genesis through Revelation. Didn't know any of it. But I knew you guys said you wanted to forgive people, and I listened. Your boss says you forgive. I took a chance, powered by the Holy Spirit, forgave that person. The person has become a lifelong friend. Now come back and let's talk about those other two decisions, right? Natalie, come into this church. After I consulted the Word and prayed, who do you think I talked to? That person. That person said to me in both those occasions, and I'm embellishing the language a little bit, but I want you to hear what they said. They said, do it, and if you don't, you're a moron. Right? And I listened. Now, come back. That makes me sound like I'm wise and benign. I'm not. I listened to what your source material told me to do. You told, right? And then I practiced it. And not only have I been blessed beyond a measure in that friendship, because it's led me to these other wonderful things, that person has been blessed too, right? A community has been blessed through that friendship. Now you start to understand why forgiveness is so central. Because strong societies have to have in their center love. And love, well, that gets manifested as forgiveness. And if it's not there, and if it's not an operative system in your heart and in your lives, I'm sorry to have to tell you this, that Sino tag, it might hang on you. It might hang on me. And that's a serious thing, because that direction can change and will change today if you will open up and allow the Lord Jesus Christ to just get a foothold into your heart and in your mind. Remember what we said about forgiveness. Now, analyze your mind. Is there anyone there, or maybe anything there, or any institution there, or any party there, right? You see, that you are holding in unforgiveness, right? If it's there, and you know it shouldn't be, what do you do? Well, guess what the Bible tells us? And it's hard, right? I said the buying cost was hard. You pray for your enemies, right? Jesus said that. That's red letter stuff, right? That's not me joking around. You seek to do good for them, right? Why? Because it'll change you. And changing you is the whole point of Christianity. It isn't about changing what's going on over there or changing the dynamics in that party down the street. It's about being changed here. And that's only going to happen by the power of the Holy Spirit breaking into your hearts and awakening you to the power of forgiveness that Jesus showed us 2,000 years ago. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. We come now into a time of prayer as we lift up from our hearts and from our minds, you know, the things that trouble us, and we give them to God because we believe that as we cast our cares and anxieties on Him, we feel and experience some relief, real, tangible relief from our fears and our worries, because we intersect with the awareness that God, sovereign, good, is at the heart and root and center of this universe. And through His Son, Jesus Christ, and the power of the Holy Spirit, is working wondrous things right now. We ask for that blessing. Join me as we pray. Wonderful God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we just bless You and thank You for this day and for this time to worship You in the name of Your Son, Jesus Christ. And we pray, Heavenly Father, that You would continue to keep us watchful and mindful for forgiveness. So, Lord, allow us the ability to forgive ourselves and to seek mercy in the Lord, to forgive others and to seek their well-being, even when it pulls against everything we would naturally do. Father God, come into our hearts and minds and change us, awakening us to Your truth that we need to be loving and forgiving, not only for ourselves, but for the betterment of the world around us. So, Father God, awaken in that the desire for us. Father God, we also recognize that this world is still broken and there's still sad and difficult things that happen. We think especially of the loss of Lyle Pace. Father God, we pray for Bonnie and for that whole family and just ask that they be strengthened and that our church continue to surround them in Your watch care and Your love. Be with them, Father God. Be with all the families in our church that have lost loved ones in this recent window, as well as those whose wounds still fester, Father God. Father God, we pray for all of the sick and the grieving and the lonely and anxious. We pray for members of our church like Jill Griffin and Tom McClure and all the many others that stand on the prayer list of our church. So we pray for them, lifting them up to You, knowing and hoping that You are hearing and responding. Father God, we come to You concluding our prayer with the prayer that You Yourself taught us through Your Son, Jesus Christ, praying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. We turn now our attention to the giving of our tithes and offerings, remembering that God loves a cheerful giver. Thank you. Let us pray. Father God, you are indeed great and awesome beyond our wildest imaginations. You have blessed us with every good thing that we've ever received. Heavenly Father, as we return a portion of those blessings back, we just ask that you sanctify this offering, using it to promote your purposes and will in this, your world. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Well, we close out our service now with just the awareness that forgiveness, this thing that Jesus talked about so frequently and so often, stands at the center of the fruits that we experience as Christians. We are able to give more freely because we understand ourselves as being flawed and in standing in need of the same forgiveness that Jesus Christ is calling us to extend. So now let us rejoice in that good news. And now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us this day and forever. Amen.